Lake Studios. It's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hyped. Be hyped. This is... The Hype.
What is going down, everybody? Mojo Break the Hype, episode number 122, coming at you. You guys are in for a treat. We're going to do a decade worth of breaks. We're going to go over some of our favorite products, some of the funniest products. So it's going to be kind of a more video, picture type of show. So for you guys that are listening to the audio version, I definitely urge you to find us on YouTube, watch this episode. So we're going to go through some of our favorite products since 2011 all the way up to now, basically, and talk about that stuff. So check it out. MojoBreak.com is the site for your breaks. If you want to get into anything, we've got lots of stuff going down. We're killing it with Revolution NBA, great value, and Zion's coming back today, so it should be a little hype around any basketball product right now with what he's doing. So check that out. We've got a lot of basketball breaks on the website. I'm gonna get a little salty today, but not as salty as I normally would this time of year because my Niners are going to the Super Bowl. So not gonna be quite as salty as I normally am, but it's that time of year. It's the Hall of Fame vote. It's, you know, it's the time for Doug to go on a Bonds rant, and that's what's going to happen today, because every year it builds up, and I get more and more angry, and I know it's an unpopular opinion. I get it. If you're not a Giants fan, you're not going to believe what I say, but I'm going to go on a rant anyway, because I think baseball needs to look at this and make some changes. First off, you know, I would be fine with baseball erasing Bonds' records. Because I see so many tweets on Twitter saying, here's his stats. Is it Hall of Fame worthy? And it's laughable because they're so much better than everybody else that's out there. The amount of home runs, the amount of All-Star games, the amount of MVPs this guy's won, it's ridiculous. And what's more ridiculous, and not to take anything away from Larry Walker or the great Gary Walker.
The great Gary Walker.
Is the fact that Larry Walker got voted in over Barry Bonds. It's absolutely ludicrous to me as a Bonds fan. Since 2013, since his induction, until the first year he was eligible. I shouldn't say he's not going to be inducted.
Should have been his induction.
But since 2013, it's just like every year, it's like, what are we doing? Now, I know everybody's going to say, oh, steroids, he cheated. Well, this year I felt a little bit better going into it for the simple fact that what happened with the Astros. They flat out cheated. There was stuff that they found that they flat out cheated. So I thought, hey, maybe people would give Barry Bonds a little bit of a pass. Maybe these writers would come to their senses and put Bonds and Clemens in the Hall of Fame because their records are worthy of being in the Hall of Fame. But what happens? No, still a grudge. And you know why that grudge was formed? This is my opinion on everything. That grudge was formed back when Selig started, when the strike happened. 1994 happened. Baseball stopped. Is baseball ever going to get its fans back? What happens? Home runs are flying out. Brady Anderson's hitting 50 home runs. And all of a sudden, we've got, you know, Mark McGwire, Sosa, that goes on. McGwire breaks the record. And then the next year, Bonds breaks the record. And I think what happens is Selig was like, wait a second. I think this guy, Barry Bonds, might break my beloved Hank Aaron's home run record. Oh, crap. So if you watch any of the stuff from back in the day, Bud Selig never really talked much about Barry Bonds. Hank Aaron refused to be at some of the games. Hank Aaron refused interviews. So if you look at some of that stuff, you see the propaganda that the media put out about Barry Bonds and the steroids. And keep in mind, Jose Canseco was the one that dropped most of this stuff. We all know Jose Canseco will do anything for money. So how do we even know any of this stuff that came out in the Mitchell Report and from Jose Canseco is true? But because Bonds was hated by the Baseball Writers Association because he wouldn't do interviews and he walked around like a narcissistic a-hole, they held a grudge to this day. And it's very funny that in 2013, the first year he was eligible, that nobody got in that year. There was not one single player that got in the 2013 year, just another slap in the face to Barry Bonds. Because the baseball writers were like scorned ex-girlfriends. That's what it was. Barry Bonds didn't want to do an interview with them, so they hated him. I'll keep that in mind when your Hall of Fame vote comes up. So it's the Hall of Character, and that's fine. If it's going to be the Hall of Character, then erase all of Barry Bonds' records. Say it doesn't exist. Do the Mark Echo thing. Shoot the balls into outer space. Shoot all of his MVPs into outer space. Shoot all of his home run records into outer space. And completely erase Barry Bonds' records. I'm fine with that. But it's not going to happen. And we're going to talk about this for days. And it's going to be even more of a point when baseball's most beloved broadcaster, Alex Rodriguez, is up for Hall of Fame because he's going to get in. And he's the only player that's actually been suspended for steroids for more than 100 games. But he's going to get in. And what are we going to say then? Oh, it's okay because maybe he admitted it. He admitted it. Barry Bonds said that he didn't know that he took it. But people, Barry Bonds is a liar. He's a liar. I don't know Barry Bonds personally. You guys don't know Barry Bonds personally. Everybody believed the propaganda that was put out by the media. And it still follows them today. And that's what's going on. And I'm salty. And once again, this is coming from a Giants fan perspective. And I know it's the unpopular opinion of everybody else. I get it. You guys are probably blasting me in the chat. I'm not even looking at it right now. It's the unpopular opinion. But let's figure it out, because we just had the Astros cheating scandal, and now we have another year where a guy with the stats like this and a guy like Clemens with his stats, Barry Bonds has the best wins above replacement out of anybody in the history of baseball.
Not even close.
It's
not even close. I think it's like one. He's by far. I mean, I think he's like double the next guy.
Barry Bonds had a better wins above replacement in 1998 in his career than Larry Walker had in his entire career. Larry Walker's wins above replacement was 72. Barry Bonds was 162 in his career. Barry Bonds, prior to what everybody said he did steroids, said no, 98 is when he started doing steroids. That's what everybody alleges it happened. He had a better wins above replacement then than Larry Walker had in his entire career. So it's a joke. And if you look at the guys that got in after 2013, Jeff Bagwell? Jeff Bagwell's better than Barry Bonds? Tim Raines better than Barry Bonds? Edgar Martinez didn't even play in the field, and he's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's a joke. Now, obviously, there's guys that deserve to be in there. Piazza, Griffey, Chipper Jones, you know, Jeter, obviously. And the one guy who didn't vote for Jeter, I don't know what the hell is going on there. Jeter deserved to be in the Hall of Fame as well. But Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, Edgar Martinez. I mean, even arguably Frank Thomas in 2014. I mean, there was plenty of other guys, and everybody resorts to the propaganda the media put out of how Barry Bonds' head size grew and how Barry Bonds as a person grew. Griffey grew as well. Nobody questions Griffey. Oh, well, he got hurt. Well, I guess his steroids weren't good enough then. So the whole era is tainted, and to actually use the scapegoat Barry Bonds to represent an era and keep him out of Hall of Fame, it gives, in my opinion, baseball a black eye. Just put him in the Hall of Fame and move on. He should have been in the Hall of Fame the first year. Now, if he does get in, is he even going to show, or would you even show up? It's like going to an in-law's house after somebody talked crap about you for 10 years. Like your aunt or you know, your wife's aunt or something talk crap about you for 7 years. You weren't invited to Christmas. And then all of a sudden you're invited to go to Christmas. Are you going to go to Christmas and be like, hey, thanks for having me?
I think the reason why Bonds is not in is because the writers know how much it means to Barry Bonds to be in there with Willie Mays and Willie McCovey and people he grew up idolizing. And I think that's why he's not in, because they know how much it hurts him that he's not in.
Right, scorned ex-girlfriends. I'll say that again, because that's what it is. They have the power to keep him out. So that all those interviews when Bonds was playing, and they say they went to his locker or his couch, which is another thing. Have you ever heard of any other player publicized about having his own private couch in the clubhouse? There's probably other players that had it, but once again, propaganda machine that baseball put out to basically have a scapegoat for baseball, which could have been fueled. I'm not saying this, but could have been fueled by Bud Selig's love affair with Hank Aaron.
Is Barry Bonds the most hated baseball player in the history of baseball?
Yes, absolutely.
Because, I mean, let's face it, there's only two fan bases that appreciate him and like him. It'd be Pittsburgh and San Francisco. Every other fan base absolutely hates him. He would get booed every time he would come up to play at bat. And that's why there's no sympathy for anybody else around the league, any other fan bases. They're like, I don't care. The hell with that guy. That guy sucks. He took steroids as a cheater.
Right. And it's funny that Griffey doesn't get that same treatment. So I compare Bonds and Griffey are one of two players of all time that have experienced the same, almost the same kind of lifestyle. They had fathers that played Major League. They grew up in dugouts. They traveled with the team when they weren't in school. They grew up being ball boys. They grew up meeting players and idolizing players and stuff like that while their dads were playing. Both their dads were mediocre at best, right? And Barry's dad, Bobby, got blasted by the media for not hitting, for striking out too much. Bobby had a lot of strikeouts, even though he stole bases and stuff like that. Bobby had a lot of strikeouts, didn't hit for a high average. Got blasted. Bobby became more of a drinker in his day, allegedly. Once again, I don't know if I believe anything on the propaganda machine, but became a drinker. Where Barry seen this growing up. If you see your dad treated a certain way by the media, aren't you going to kind of stay away from the media? So that was viewed as being an a-hole, where he just was like, hey, I don't want them to bring me down and bring my focus down.
But he also used it because he knew they needed him to talk. In order to do their job, they needed the best player to say something about the games. So he avoided them and was like, I'm not going to give you guys the time of day because of what you guys did to my family.
Right, right.
And basically the baseball writers at that point were just like, you know what? We're going to get you back at some point.
Right, exactly.
Because look at it. How many, growing up and watching Barry play, how many interviews did you see of Barry Bonds?
Not a whole lot.
Few and far between.
Right.
And the only ones that he would do would be from very specific baseball writers that he did have a relationship with, or anybody in the Giants or Pirates organization where he knew they were not going to ask a question or say anything that was going to shine a bad light on.
Exactly. And Barry was a very loyal guy. He had a lot of the same people working for him his entire career. He didn't go through people. He was very loyal. He was a very loyal person. So once again, not a popular opinion here, but I mean, with the stats that this man has put up, love him or hate him, you either got to erase the stats or you got to put him in the Hall of Fame. Simple as that. You got to get over this whole thing that happened. You got to get over the steroid era, that which he never was proven guilty on. But we all of a sudden have just we've banged the gavels ourselves and said, because of all this stuff that the writers put out, the guys that are voting him for the Hall of Fame are the guys that are putting the stories out about him. It's kind of like politics in
a
sense.
I also think, and you know, Kramer brought up a good point, and you also have Canseco and McGuire. If Bonds does get in, it does open the floodgates for Bonds and Clemens. Let's put Clemens and Bonds. Bonds and Clemens, when they go in, and I say when they go in because they will go in, they're going to go in the same year. It is going to open up the floodgates. You, at that point, Sosa needs to go in. And after that, then the Veterans Committee or the Hall of Fame Committee need to step in and probably get McGuire in there as well.
I agree. I mean, now, those guys' the stats and their WAR is nowhere near
now,
Barry Bonds.
Now, but without the 94 season with Sosa and McGuire, I don't think baseball ever recovers from the strike. I don't think it ever truly recovers.
But you think about this, and this is obviously conspiracy theory. I like to, you know, look at both sides of things. You look at the 94 season, you look at how much of a collapse that was with baseball, and then you go back to the 95, 96, 97, all the way leading up to it, and you had the guys that were, like, hitting 10 home runs, and all of a sudden they hit 50, 60 home runs.
Everybody knows those guys. Steve Finley.
Yeah.
Steve Finley.
So you're not telling me the ball wasn't, like, wrapped a little bit more wound or they did something to make the game, you know, just like last year there was a lot of home runs. When baseball goes through a lull in money and advertising, stuff happens. I think Selig got ahead of himself. Once again, my opinion. I think Selig got ahead of himself and realized that, hey, these people are wondering why all these guys are hitting home runs. Let's come out with a report and make it illegal drugs. Because then he just deflects it off of himself.
Well, not only
he never got investigated.
You had a juiced ball era. The ball being, you know, wound tight. I think we're dealing with it right now as well. But you also have, at that time, the late 90s, early 2000s, you had a ton of new ballparks that were very hitter-friendly ballparks.
Yes. Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I mean, they were being built with the mindset that people want to show up if there's going to be a lot of home runs. Home runs are the most exciting part of our game. Let's capitalize on it. So you, like, minus Petco, where the Padres play,
and San Francisco,
you pretty much have all the new stadiums around that era that were all
like Cincinnati,
Houston, Arizona, obviously Colorado, I think the new Philly stadium was a good hitter's park, but We'll see. I mean, I think, and then also, every time you bring up Barry Bonds, you're going to bring up Pete Rose. I think Pete Rose, it's a different situation. I think Pete Rose, the year after he passes away, I think they let him in. I think for whatever reason, I mean, you know, videotaping is one thing, steroids is one thing, but the cardinal rule, the one rule that you don't do, I guess, is bet on your sport.
But I, you know, that's another scenario where I'm like, hey, you know, maybe erase the record for him too. I mean, you look at that as a kid, like somebody that's new to baseball, and you see, oh, hey, look at all the people that have the most hits. Pete Rose has the most hits of all time, and he's not in the Hall of Fame. So, if you're gonna have those records posted on Baseball Reference, Wikipedia, MLB.com, wherever you're gonna have those stats posted, if a guy is not in the Hall of Fame because of that, there needs to be an explanation there, or it needs to be erased. That's just my opinion, and that's why I'm tired of seeing. I mean, look at this. What I have on the screen. 7-time National League MVP. How many people have done that? 14-time All-Star, 8-time Gold Glove, 762 home runs. It's just crazy. And not even counting, it doesn't even have the WAR on there, the 162 WAR, which I don't think even Trout will get close. Trout's on a pretty good pace, but you know, the wins above replacement really kind of can mark the player on a crappy team. If a team's underperforming, you can kind of use WAR to see how great he actually played.
How would you feel if they had a wing in the Hall of Fame? And they were just like, this is the steroid era. Now, doesn't that kind of...
It's put in an asterisk at that point.
I mean,
and
if you're one of those players, do you want to be associated with something like that? Where like, oh, well, you go over to that hall, you're going to see all my stuff because I cheated.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Well, we'll move on to, you know, the decade. We got a few things we're promoting here. First off, we've got some stuff going down. We had the 325 box, the biggest break ever. That went down Friday and Saturday over the course of 2 days. It was literally insane. You should see some of the hits that we've pulled out of that break. If you're following us on Facebook, which I recommend, I posted about 30 pictures on there of some of the biggest hits of the break. It was phenomenal. I mean, we hit like 9 Pete Alonso rookie cards. We hit 2 Mike Trout autos. We hit a bat plate 101 auto of Adrian Beltre. We hit a 101 Hank Aaron out of Transcendent. We had a Calvin Coolidge cut out of Transcendent. Insane. I'm not even scraping the surface of all the big hits. 2 Adley Rushmans, a gold and a blue. Phenomenal. So you can watch the recap video. The recap video is 40 minutes. You can watch that, or you can go on Facebook and check out the some of the highlights. And then February 4th, we're going to be live in Dallas for Series 1 Baseball, 2020 Series 1 Baseball. So we're going to be part of the Million Card Rip Party with Topps. They've invited a bunch of us breakers out there to be part of history. Guinness is going to be out there. There's going to be a million cards ripped in one night, and it's one day early before the product comes out. So you can get into those breaks. We have 2 6-case jumbo PYT breaks where there's just a few teams left. And then we're also doing personal cases for the retail price, but you're getting it a day early. So that's something to keep in mind. If you're thinking about buying it from your shop or buying it online, you can buy it from us at $6.99 a case, which is retail price. Get it busted on camera early. Your cards are going to be part of the Guinness Book of World Records, and then you're also going to have a shot at any bounties that Topps does. So Topps is going to have first to hit this card or first to hit that card. So you guys are going to have part of get a chance at that, and they're going to be giving away stuff there as well. So if you want to buy your own case, it might be the way to go. And with Series 1, you're getting 5-6 rookie cards minimum of each player. So, you know, Jordan, all those guys, you know, they're in this set. You're going to get, you know, buy a personal case. You're going to get a lot of rookie cards plus a chance at those nosebleed 101 hits that they're in there and stuff like that, and those crazy autos. And Super Bowl. You guys know I'm excited.
I agree on that. That we probably are going to need a Guinness or two. Oh, you mean Guinness Book of World Records?
A Guinness or 4, yeah. I don't like Guinness, but maybe if it's the only choice.
Dude, it's pretty good. Delicious.
Chiefs, Niners, you guys know who I'm picking. I was at the NFC Championship game. It was an amazing event. I don't think I'll ever top that event in my life, ever go to a game, unless I somehow go to a Super Bowl at some point, which odds are against me on that. But, yeah, I was at the NFC Championship, so we got the Chiefs and we've got the Niners. Going to be a pretty dang good game. I think the line came out at 1 point at this point, favored in the Chiefs' favor. But we have an epic literally epic Super Bowl mixer. So 54 boxes. It's Super Bowl 54. And unlike any of our other big football mixers that we've done, there's no duplicate boxes. All unique, 54 boxes, all mostly high-end. We've got 2018 Flawless, 2018 National Treasures. We've got 2005 playoff contenders for Aaron Rodgers. That's in the break. We got 2000 Fleer Skybox, Tom Brady rookies. We've got 2017 Donruss Optic. You can't find 2017 stuff anymore. Patrick Mahomes prices are insane. 2017 Vertex, 2017 Encased, Immaculate, 2009 Exquisite. Look at the listing yourself. We just had one sell. We're doing four skunk prizes, and we're also doing Super Bowl squares unique to that break as well. So fun event is happening next Friday at 4:30, so get your spots in on that. Once again, the most unique Super Bowl break that you've ever seen. There's 13 different years of product in there. I think there's 10 different contenders in there. It's phenomenal. It's going to be a fun break, so check that out. So
the Series 1, it's only – and we're actually bringing our own allocation out there, so it's not like Topps made more for the event.
They make a lot.
They make a lot of it. We're only opening between everybody. 1 million cards equates to like maybe 325, 326 cases, jumbo cases. So really, it's a small percentage of the overall print run.
Definitely.
And it's not like there's an extra 300 cases that they're bringing out there. We're actually bringing out our initial allocation from our distributors, and we're having it shipped out there.
Absolutely.
So I know the 1 million card moniker makes it sound like, you know, they're mass producing everything, but they're not.
I never thought of it that way. It does kind of seem like they made a lot of cards.
It does, but it really actually, it just turns out.
Maybe
they made a fraction, maybe a small percentage more cases than they did this year.
They do every year anyway,
And they do every year. It's based on the pre-orders that come in.
And
the pre-orders for that product, we put the pre-orders for that product about 8 to 10 months ago, so that was well before they even were even thinking about this event. So
right, and if you've ever sorted one case of jumbo Tops, it feels like a million cards anyway. So you know, there's a lot of cards in each case for anybody that's sorted that. So but we'll move on. We've got a fun little segment, and it was a lot. You know, it took us a couple weeks to get this ready. You know, we as you know, New Year's, all that stuff, the biggest break ever that we were doing, and all the things that went on in the early January. Finally got a chance to. And we're gonna have a couple more of these shows too, but this is the best of the decade. We started breaking late 2010, and obviously we're still breaking. So we're gonna go over some fun products that we busted back in the day. You're gonna see some of our crappy setups that we had when we first started, because there was nobody breaking then. We didn't know how to do it. I mean, there was, you know, you didn't know what you were doing back then. But anyways, start with the 2011 Topps update, which we busted a case of back then. This $1,000 2011 update trout is what you guys know and love, and you see on eBay, and you see the prices going crazy. Back then, the trout was $4 or $5. So you know, I think we sold the Angels for $30 or $40 in that break. I threw a couple videos on here for these. I don't know if we're gonna get through them all, because you know, now we only have like a half an hour before Revolution. But as you can see, you know, that was one of our first setups there. Once again, if you listen to the podcast, you know, make sure you watch the video, or maybe you don't want to watch this video. But
now we should say, when we were doing this, there was no way to have one, because we had a backup camcorder that was that we were recording but not streaming to YouTube.
Yeah.
And then we had a webcam that we were recording. We were broadcasting
live
on
Blog TV.
Blog TV.
Was the streaming site. There was no YouTube at that time.
But you couldn't record. Streaming. You couldn't record from blog. So we were actually recording on a camcorder and then uploading it to YouTube later. So when you see the cards being shown, we're trying to show on two different cameras that are set up. So don't get all bad with us about it. Like, it was look.
Hey, it's harder. It's hard enough for me to watch.
On the back there, it says "Teams Available." Like,
I made the backdrop, and I don't know if I still have it. Kramer asked if I still have that backdrop. It's a science. It's science project-esque. I mean, that was, you know, once again, when you're creating something and you don't have anything else to look at, you know, that's why I always give credit to these breakers that you know, come in 15 and 16, yeah, maybe a little harder to get some customers. But as far as the technology part, the people before you already figured it out. So this was a lot of trial and error back in those days. But it's funny that 2011 update was, you know, what, $75 a box at that time, you know, and now it's thousands and thousands of dollars, and those Trouts are worth ridiculous amounts of money. So that was 2011. So that kind of highlighted our year 2011, if you look back on it. You know, moving along to one of Dan's favorite products in 2010 is plates and patches football. Mm-hmm. 2010 rookie class was highlighted by the great Sam Bradford, the great Tim Tebow, the great Colt McCoy, the great Panthers quarterback, what was it, the Pickle? Jimmy the Pickle Clausen. You also had Rob Gronkowski. You had Aaron Hernandez, rest in peace. Well, I don't know, rest in peace, but I shouldn't say anything about that.
Demaryius Thomas, right?
Demaryius Thomas. Emmanuel Sanders, actually. The Super Bowl champion Emmanuel Sanders was in there as well. You also had
– He does have a championship. He does have a Super Bowl.
He does. He does. You see how I did that? Entendre there.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad you didn't say, well, he's got another one.
He's gonna have another one, but
Yeah. Bold prediction. So gonna lose.
But what was your favorite part about 2010 plates and patches? And I think there's always a video that accompanies each picture of the card.
Huh? Oh.
And there's Dan in his Rams jersey.
Dude.
You gotta love that backdrop.
Okay, so in the backdrop there we have a Boss TR2 tremolo pedal.
And you can fast forward through these too.
And a Red Bull and a coffee. I like caffeine. What can I say?
You could probably go to the middle then or something. But what was your favorite part about 2010 plates and patches, and why should somebody buy it today?
Oh, the encased hits.
The encased hits.
The encased RPA is numbered to $4.99, sometimes $5.99. Actually, I think it was $5.99 and $6.99.
Oh, and then encased redemptions, right?
And encased redemptions.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite as well.
You know, it didn't take a lot to please us back in those days. 2010, you threw something in a magnetic that came out of a pack. It was pretty awesome, right? I mean, it just made the card look so much cooler. So much more valuable.
It's crazy. I got a backwards hat on. I don't wear hats anymore.
Oh, you're just sporting it. So, all right. So moving along, 2012 Momentum was another favorite. And, yeah, you can see that's our camera angle there because we're recording and we're streaming. So, but anyways, 2012 Momentum, I mean, that was really kind of the uptake where we actually went semi-full-time with breaks at that point. So 2012 Momentum, if you could find it, it's still pretty cheap. It's a good value because every box is going to have 10 hits. So not a lot of products out there have 10 hits a box. But at the time, you had, you know, Russell Wilson. Well, you didn't even have Russell Wilson. People were chasing RG3 and Andrew Luck. And then Russell Wilson kind of came onto the scene, third rounder, and then he got the chance to play. And the rest was history for Russell Wilson. But you had the inception of the diamond cards in 2012. The first diamond cards that Panini came out with was, they called them studs. And they were pictures of players that their earring was a diamond. So you had like Dez Bryant, a couple guys that wore earrings, and it was a stud.
We pulled one.
Yeah, like 5 years later.
Yep.
It was the very mythical diamond stud earring cards that we just never got. So, but you had a lot of vets, you had a lot of legends, you had a lot of patches. And once again, you could see how we used to break cards back then. It was pretty bad to watch.
It's
so
good. Good.
But
go back to it. We should do a retro break and break it just like that again.
With the same backdrop we have maybe somewhere.
Yep.
So, yep, 2012 Momentum. And then you got 2012 Tribute. Once again, encased cards. We loved them. We absolutely loved encased cards. And this product went way up for some reason. It did have some Trout in there. Wasn't super popular back then with Trout, but as popular as he was now. But every auto was encased, and every hit was encased. As you can see here, you know, coming right out of the box, it just felt like it was valuable. Now Tribute kind of just, who cares about Tribute anymore? I mean, there's some good stuff in it, but that was when Tribute was at its all-time best, was in 2012. You had Willie Mays on the cover. I mean, you can't complain about that. 2012. Tribute. What was your favorite part about Tribute?
The encased hits.
I kind of already laid it out for you.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it was some good looking base cards.
My, let's see. I think, yeah. Look at that backdrop.
If
look
you
at
see
that backdrop.
It. I think we broadcasted in 10p back then.
10p.
It was 10p. So you had to really kind of focus in to see what you were getting. And yeah, I think it was the slowest breaks of all time back then. I mean, if we, you know, we do cases now in like 20 minutes. I think it was like 2 or 3 hours back then. So, and yeah. So moving on to the next one. Once again, this segment is basically the decade of breaks that we've, you know, we started in 2011. So we're going over some of our favorite products that we've done and some of the, there's going to be some funny ones coming up as well. But 12-13, right at the end, there was two high-end basketball products that came out that really kind of shaped the way that we break basketball today. You had Immaculate, which was a shout-out to Carvin, who used to work at Panini. He actually worked on Exquisite back when he worked at Upper Deck, brought a lot of the same designs and philosophy over to Panini with Immaculate. So as you can see, it was one of the first shoe cards. You can see the LeBron James up there. And it was the double rookie class then. So,
ooh, changed the angle.
Yep, you can see the progression.
Oh, look at that. And look at that banner. Look at that backdrop.
You can see the progression of our angles throughout the years.
Look at that backdrop right there. We got a banner back there. It's okay. It's better. It's better.
And this was a weird one. So obviously you had the double rookie class. So there was a strike in 11-12 season. So the 11 and 12 rookies went into the 12-13 rookie class with the 12th. So it was two rookie classes is why you have Kyrie and Anthony Davis in the same products in 12-13 if you're new to collecting. So there was a lot of chase in this product. You had Anthony Davis, you had Kyrie, you had Bradley Beal, you had Harrison Barnes, you had Klay Thompson, you had Draymond Green. It was a phenomenal rookie class, but because they made two rookie classes, they kind of did double the product. So you had not only better chances of getting the main guys, but you also had better chances of getting a lot of the suck guys too. So you'd go through cases and not hit a main guy at all back then. You know, like Festus Ezeli.
I think we were using an odd. What were we using? What kind of camera was this? Was this the
circle camera? I don't know.
Was this the sphere or the security camera?
Could have been this.
Look at that, Bradley Beal RPA.
Yeah, Bradley Beal RPA right there. So, and dude, that design in 12-13 is phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, it might even be better than any of the designs that they have nowadays. So, and another funny thing about Immaculate was there wasn't a whole lot of allocation back then. But for whatever reason, say I think we got like 10 cases of Immaculate, maybe not even that much. But they only gave us 70% because their excuse was they had to make more tins for Immaculate. They ran out of tins. There was a worldwide shortage of Immaculate tins. So they actually had to deliver us the rest of our product a month later. And it was completely different. There was more hits in there. Kawhi Leonard was coming out of the second run. Wasn't coming out in the first run. So obviously, I think the tins was like, hey, we didn't get enough autographs to make a whole run. That's what I think, but don't know. So, and then that same year was the birth of Flawless.
Why don't you just ask Carvin?
I think he told me, but I don't remember specifics on what happened. But he did say that there was some that didn't make it in the run. So Flawless came out. I actually was on my honeymoon, just got married that year, and Dan got to – he was here on Flawless release day. So this is Dan breaking it. And we were scared because at the time it was $1,000 a box product. And we're like, dude, how are we going to sell this, dude? You know what I mean? This is too expensive for breaks. This is not going to take off. Like, you got to keep in mind, like, the highest end hobby box, because Immaculate wasn't even out then. The highest end before that was like, what, $200 or $300? So you went to a full $1,000 a box and you're like, 10 cards, $1,000? How's this going to sell?
Yeah.
How's it going to sell? Right?
I remember this is actually my first Flawless box ever. And I didn't know what. I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, I remember watching it from, I think we had like an apartment thing in Hawaii, watching it, looking over the sea, waking up at set, because it was 7 at Hawaii time, and Dan was breaking at 10 Pacific. So just watching it, and then be like, whoa. So I called up my distributor, and it was like $500 more, and got more. I mean, we ended up getting more. Wish we would have gotten some that we were still holding, but this was the first year of Flawless. So Flawless baseball, Flawless football came afterwards. Basketball is where it came out. Was the first time that Flawless dropped. So, little, you know, there's a little history lesson wrapped in with some of the products that we've liked over the years. So, with the decade in review here, what was the first memory you remember about your first couple cases? Was there a card that like stuck out in your mind?
I'm watching it right now.
Well, this is case 5, but
oh yeah, I was like almost a decade ago. I have no idea.
I want to say you pulled a Damian Lillard.
Because
it was the first. So Damian Lillard used to be signed to Leaf exclusively. So Brian Gray with Leaf, you know, had a crystal ball, signs Damian Lillard to an exclusive contract.
I definitely remember the Kobe packs being in there.
Yep. So Damian Lillard got signed to an exclusive with Leaf.
Ooh, little KD.
Little KD there. So come Immaculate and Flawless time, for whatever reason, Panini was able to buy some autos from Leaf or buy the rights to Damian Lillard. So Damian Lillard was in Flawless, and Damian Lillard's only on-card auto is in Flawless out of any of his rookie auto, that is. There's only one on-card rookie auto of Lillard, and it's in Flawless, and that's it. So it doesn't sell for what it should, but if you think about it in the grand scheme of things, there's only like 20 on-card Damian Lillard rookie autos ever made. Even the Damian Lillard packs are stickers, so that came out afterwards. So that was kind of cool. Little history lessons there on that. And then what do we got next? We got 2013 memories, Leaf memories baseball.
Great product. Great product.
2013 was probably the worst years of breaking cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
With all the things going on, you had no baseball guys. You had really, because Judge was in 13, but nobody knew about him at the time. 2013 football class, absolutely terrible.
Tough. And at 13, 14, basketball was tough. Nobody was chasing Giannis in 13, 14. People were chasing Michael Carter Williams and the other guy.
Anthony Bennett.
No.
AB to God.
No, there was a...
the first overall pick.
There was a Oladipo.
Oladipo, yeah. It was Oladipo and Carter Williams. That was
Carter
it.
Williams, yeah.
Even McCollum, who was in there, wasn't really... No. Nobody was really chasing him at the time. But Leaf Memories was pretty cool because it was the 91 Leaf design. They had some buybacks like you see here. They actually have, they have Carlos Correa autos, Aaron Judge autos. They had a lot of nice stuff in Leaf Memories. We actually did a couple boxes in our biggest break ever. And you're just seeing the base here. But there was a lot of autos, and then there was one stamped auto buyback from 91 Leaf. It was, at the time, it was just super unique. It was value-filled. It was a really... cool product to do. So for 2013, that is my most fondest memory, with no pun intended, right? So you know, without the license, things are tough, but you know, Leaf did a great job on that. 2014, I have a couple. I have a National Treasures baseball. They really did a really good job in National Treasures baseball in 2014. It also helps we pulled a Satchel Paige 1/1 cut auto, so that sticks out in my mind. As you can see right there, we pulled the Satchel Paige cut, which I didn't think was a cut at the time. So they do National Treasures baseball always. What's up?
What you thought it was at the time?
I thought it was just going to be like a 1/1 relic, you know. So I'm like, there's no way there's going to be an auto of Satchel Paige, you know. And back then, cuts weren't just coming out like in Diamond Icons every other case, right? So it was, you know, super rare to get like a cut of something like that, especially a player that, you know, represents so much for baseball's history. So,
And we're at our. I think we're at our third or fourth location at this point in the videos.
Yes, I think we're at the Walsh, right?
We're at Walsh.
We're at Walsh at this point. All right. So what do we got next? We've got Eminence. Funny story about Eminence. I think C-Rad joined our Eminence break.
I sure did.
And I think this video, it was the break that you were in. It's coming up next. I think it was a Court Kings duel.
Yep.
That's the one. C-Rad gets into a break, spends like $1,000 on the Lakers, and he gets a Kobe and a Shaq, I believe. You can go backwards a little bit, I think, is when we're doing the Eminence. So this was a high-end product, came out 14-15, Wiggins year. Wiggins was the highlight rookie at the time, and it was an $8,000 box cost, and there was only 8 to 10 cards in each case, which was another frustrating thing for us, was there was no set amount of cards, so we couldn't even do a hit random because we didn't know if there was 8, 10, or 11 cards. But it had embedded metal cards in there. Gold and, that was a sick card. It had gold.
That was a USA Basketball David Robinson.
Yep, USA Basketball David Robinson. Oh, like Dirk Nowitzki. Yeah, they had the.
This was before Impeccable, so we didn't have no gold, silver cards yet in the hobby.
Yeah, Eminem's, I guess this was...
Eminem's was before Impeccable.
This was the birth of Impeccable, kind of, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Just like Topps Marquee birthed Museum, this birthed Impeccable. So for you historians out there. So, it kind of flopped. I actually saw a case on eBay, C-Rad. Maybe we can figure out something. For $12,000, get a case of Eminence.
$12K?
It seems like a lot, but it might be the only case in existence. I don't know. You know, maybe one of those C-Rad special mixers. You throw it in there. I don't know. That was cool. Eminence.
I wasn't in this one. I was in, I don't know if this is the first one you guys did. I was in one of the first two that you guys did. Mine had a flawless case in it.
Doug and I did a personal case.
Yeah, we got a Wiggins. We got murdered because we couldn't sell it. It was hard. It was a hard sell. Like, you know, flawless was easy, but this just didn't have as much cards, and it was a lot of people. You know, 14, 15, you had Wiggins. Who else is even in that club? Embiid, right? But
Jabari
I don't think it.
Parker.
I don't, and Jabari Parker. But Embiid wasn't in this product, I don't think, was he?
He was in Eminence.
Yeah, maybe he was. Maybe he was.
He might have.
Because I think they only had the three rookies. They had Jabari, maybe Embiid, and they had Wiggins. And obviously Wiggins.
Look at that. Woo!
Yeah.
Fire. Kobe.
That was beautiful,
with
Kobe.
The gold, dude.
Yeah. Was that what yours?
No, that's not mine.
That's not yours. Damn it. I thought I was found.
That at the time was like a $3,000-$4,000 card.
Yeah.
The Kobe that I got was like a $1,500-$2,000 card.
Okay. Yeah, see, C-Rod killed it, that break. I think he bought like three spots. I couldn't believe it. I think I had to Google.
Yeah, because we did group style. So I just went in each group. I got a spot
that's
in
right.
each group. And then I happened to get the Lakers in one of the groups. I was so happy when I saw that I got the Lakers.
Yeah, because I think you spent like $1,200, and I think I was like, man, we should Google this guy, dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy might be scamming us, man. Who comes in on one night and spends $1,200? No. So Eminence was the birth of, I don't know, maybe it'll come back. This year would make sense if it comes back. They need to reformat a little bit, but,
yeah,
you know.
Please no Kobe, Eminence, Panini, please no.
Yeah, right. So, and then after that, what do we got? We got Topps Diamond Football.
I like that product.
So, for those of you that don't know, Topps, lost their license in 2015. So, this is one of the last products they made was Topps Diamond. And there was a lot of redemptions, unfortunately, but there was also a lot of really nice cards. And, you know, 15 is the year of Mr.
I think 15 is the year of the face cam, too.
Oh, look at that.
Look at that. I fought that.
Dan fought it for five years.
It for 5 years, and then there it is. There's the face cam.
Dan never wanted to show his face on camera. I had to convince him.
Yep.
A
lot of conversations at different industry events with a bunch of other people. And, yeah, that's a lost.
Hey,
and
majority.
I'm trying to think. No, there's one guy who was in that conversation. He's keeping it real.
He's keeping it real. Yep.
I'm a boy right there.
Well, yeah, 2015 Diamond was a surprise. It was some pretty cool stuff. Had that, you know, black background, silver gold pen, red pen. It was kind of Spectra before Spectra, in a sense. Spectra.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Spectra kind of followed suit of this product. Even though Spectra was out, but they changed the format later with the different color pens.
Mm-hmm.
So Topps Diamond was a cool product. You can find some boxes. Yeah, they do have some redemptions.
Yeah, there was a lot of redemptions.
So maybe you don't want to buy one, but if you get a good deal.
There was a lot of redemptions, man.
A lot of redemptions, yeah.
Yeah. So
I remember a lot of the big pulls were redemptions. Like a lot of the main guys that were in there. Mariota or Winston, one of them. And then I think Todd Gurley. That was his rookie year. I think he was a redemption in that.
Yes.
The best.
Yeah, Todd Gurley was a redemption.
Yeah, the
unfortunately.
Best, I don't know if you have it on this list, but the best product, like that home stretch for Topps of losing the license, the NFL license, the best product was Definitive
yep.
Football.
Yep, I know. I should have put it on here. But
oh, I thought you were going to say.
Field Access.
Field Access.
Hey, you got four hits in that product.
Yeah, hits whatever was left over.
Hey, it's still like $50. I think I might have had. I think
four
I was
autos
almost
actually, not four
yeah
hits.
Four autos.
Whatever stickers that were left over.
Yep, the scrapings of the Topps warehouse.
Just going through and
the sweepings.
But we got Definitive, which is like one of my favorite baseball products. Actually, it's one of my favorite products every year.
Yeah,
regardless of sport, Definitive.
Yeah, we actually have Definitive Baseball coming up. But yes, it was birthed by Definitive Football. I don't know why they came out with it in 2015. Maybe if they'd have done it in like 2012, and maybe they still had the license, you know?
Oh, come on, it ain't like that.
Ain't got money like that.
NFL don't love Topps like that.
They don't love you like Panini. So here comes 15-16 Revolution, the birth of Revolution. Which, you know, we didn't know what to expect, and now the demand for Revolution is crazy. As you can see, this was a quad case C-Rad did recently. Was that 6 months ago? You know, Revolution, all about the Galactic. And, man, the cards from this year's Revolution with Zion Mania and Ja and all that stuff, it's cool because you don't have to chase autos necessarily. You have all the parallels to chase, and there's value in boxes that don't have autos. So that was, in a sense, they kind of prefaced it by saying it was a revolution because it's bringing cards back to where they used to be, where we were just collecting rookie cards and stuff like that and collecting rare parallels. But what I didn't realize until I did a Google search and a YouTube search, you know who debuted Revolution? These guys in Arizona. We broke 15-16 Revolution before anybody else did. So, and I think we like completely trashed on it.
Did we?
After. Oh, not on camera. But yeah, go to the next video.
What event?
It was the baseball event in Arizona.
Oh, you were debuting it.
No, you were there too.
Oh. I could only imagine, like, afterwards you guys like, oh my god, it was Panini.
Dude, it was a long break. We didn't know and we didn't understand anything about Galactics.
Yeah, we're all, oh, I remember this. We're like every pack we're like looking at the back going like, where's the number in?
Yeah. It was so bad at the time.
Oh man, look how pretty those autos are.
Chris Paul, yeah. I mean it was obviously now I understand, but at the time we were going through an era of hits. You know. There wasn't anything crazy high. I mean, we had Flawless, but at the time you were like, What are they doing? This sucks, you know? And they stuck with it with a little help from C-Rad, and now it is where it is.
This is the event where Jonathan Gray was looking at all of us opening up cards and being like, yeah, I ain't sitting down with these nerds.
Yeah. Yeah, he walked in with his wife that was completely out of his league, or girlfriend or whatever. She was, you know, pretty good on the eyes. He walks into this room and there's like six people opening up cards. And you know, look how I look. And you know, he's looking at people and he's a young man, 22, John Gray from the Rockies. And he's just got finished signing some cards from Panini. And then in the next room is where the breakers are at. And he just walks in, looks like he's like smells a fart. And he just like, just looking around and just like, just dumbfounded at the fact that grown men are opening up cards. And it takes it a while for him to sink in that, you know, probably he thought that cards were for kids, and he sees grown men doing kids things, and I think he just doesn't know what's going on. And I think he wound up breaking with somebody, not us, but just, yeah, not his cup of tea.
Oh, this is also when were we sitting? It was KT was busting right next to us.
I don't know if it was the same year.
And
oh, yeah, because he would have been behind us, right?
Yeah, and we were sitting with somebody from the Giants, right?
It wasn't Ryder Jones, but it was...
Was it Mac Williamson?
No, it wasn't Mac Williamson either. It was...
It was somebody, and then he like, KT had pulled a card of Mac Williamson, I think, and he's like, hey, here's your card. And it wasn't...
It was the guy was Ryder Jones.
It was Ryder Jones.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
He's all, that's not me.
That's
yeah,
not me.
That's right. I do remember that. So, yeah, 15-16 Revolution started a revolution amongst cards. So it felt like it, we had to bring it up. But I've watched this video with sound. You could probably see me and Dan just, like, going through the motions as far as, like, man, this product sucks. This is terrible. But now I understand it, and I love it. I actually look forward to it every year now. So
Who do we got? Who we got in that screen over there? If you get, oh, I was seeing who was breaking on the other side.
No.
I can see. I see a blue Dodgers hat. Could be Chad. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I don't think Chad was there. We'll see when I move the cards. Who was breaking over there?
Dude, oh yeah, that guy has a beard. Actually, that does look like Chad. No, that's not Chad. Oh, that's not a Dodgers hat. That looks like a...
looks like Kevin.
Looks like a Chargers hat almost. Got yellow on there.
Yeah, I don't know.
It looks like Kevin, but that... There's Carvin.
Yep.
Oh, this is the one where Carvin had his... He had his Tupac ringtone.
Yeah, and it blocked our video.
And I blocked our video.
Yep.
What Tupac song?
It was California Love.
Yeah.
And it blocked our video.
Yeah. Oh, and here comes the gem. I wish I still had a video of this gem of a product, but Panini came out with the greatest buyback known to man called Panini Replay. Stand up and give a round of applause for Replay. One of the greatest products of all time.
It actually ended up being an amazing product once they included Mosaic with it. It ended up being good. Mosaic was one of the cleanest prism designs I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was good.
Let's pump the brakes on hating on it. I mean, at the price it ended up being, I would break it for $30.
But it was $225 when
it came
out.
Yeah. I'd break it for $30.
And this is when I first joined you guys, and I remember running randoms for like $20 a spot or something, and that was like losing massive amount of money. Yeah.
So to backlog the story, Panini shows this product, 15-16 replay, came out at the end of the 15-16 class. They showed Steph Curry logo or Steph Curry NTRPA was in here. There was going to be three of them, right? So and at the time, Steph Curry RPAs were like $20,000-$30,000. So we're like, oh my god, this is going to be the greatest product ever. And I mean, they showed Kobe's and stuff, all buyback stuff. We're like, oh my god, this is going to be so phenomenal. And they even put a sheet of what guys were in there, but they didn't include the Greg Stietsmas in the sheet, right? So
and Tobias Harris.
So we had ordered 20 cases of this product, which was probably the most. At the time, we were ordered of anything because we were, like, so sold on it. We even called a couple days before and ordered five more cases. And then we start busting it, and it's just guys that aren't even in the league anymore. So how this product was formed was guys that turned in their autos late to Panini or guys that they just didn't include in the product. So they keep them, and they can either issue them as replacements or they can do this. So obviously they issued all the good cards for replacements. They couldn't give people Greg Stietsma autos. So what they did is they put it in replay. They put it in replay, and you're opening it up, you're like Sam Young. You're seeing guys. Mind you, this is $225 for two buyback cards.
Two cards.
And every single – yeah, two autos. Every single box is producing $5 in autos, like literally the worst guys possible, like that you could put in. It was an epic fail. So we actually made a spoof video that I wish I still had.
I like how I keep on hitting that magnetic. I'm just hoping that it's going to change the card. Yeah. I'm like hitting on it. Is it different?
and Isaiah Thomas was in there a lot, and that was actually one of the better hits to get at the time was Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, because he was balling that time.
But, yeah.
The number on the front was not the same numbering on the back.
I'm glad you don't have the Bowman McBowmanstein video.
Yeah, it was funny though.
It was good, but it was frowned upon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we stood up. So this just shows you that there is some power amongst peons in the industry. There is power amongst the peons. So we were so literally disgusted at the value that this produced, and we were sitting on 25 cases. We actually stopped breaking it that day. We were like, we cannot sell this stuff anymore for our customers. We are going on strike on this product. We called our main distributor up at the time, and we were like, we're bringing this back. Like, we don't want this. This was false advertisement. You guys literally put turds in a box and tried to sell it to the masses. They knew that this was bad, and it should have been a tenth of the price that you guys came out with it at. So we basically stopped. We're like, the distributor's like, don't give it back to us. We're going to do something. So literally I heard rumblings from Panini that said, tough, shove it. You know, that's what it initially came out. Like, sorry, you guys ordered it. You're going to have it. We're like, no, we're not breaking it. And there was a couple of us breakers. I know us, Chad, a couple other breakers, Chad from Firehand.
Another Sam Young.
Right, exactly. Sam Young, who cares, right? That's what's coming out of this product. So we all stood up and we told the distributors we're bringing our stuff back. So next thing you know, Panini said, all right, cool. Anybody who ordered replay, you're going to have to keep it, but we're going to give you guys a box-to-box of Prism Mosaic 1617. So those wound up coming out at $100 a box. Didn't completely make up for the loss of replay, but because the industry stood up as a whole and said, this product, we cannot do this. They created Prism Mosaic, and that was the year of Ben Simmons, and those cards did pretty well, and they had the parallels and stuff and Ben Simmons Mania. So it kind of worked out in the end, like Dan said at the beginning.
So. Yeah, like I said, for $30 a box, I'm a buyer.
Well, right, exactly. $20 or $30, we're a buyer. I think you can get them for like $50. But here's the thing: Kramer in the chat says leather and lumber is worse than this stuff. No. But leather and lumber actually, so. Leather and lumber, they use the rookie class. They use Vlad, they use Pete Alonso and stuff like this.
Not even close.
They were handpicking guys to put in the product that weren't even in the league anymore. There was like literally no hope. At least with leather and lumber, you can get a Mike Kopech. Mike Kopech is 2 years in the league. He could throw a no hitter or something. These guys were playing in Europe. A lot of them were probably working at Walmart already. Like there literally was
10 D-leaguers in a case, and then one Hakeem Olajuwon or one Chris Paul. It was just blatant lack of, like I don't know how they had a meeting for this product and said, yeah, that looks good.
The retail cost was $250. It's nowhere near leather and lumber, bro.
Oh, eye appeal, yes. Oh, leather and lumber from the eye appeal, yes. Terrible.
I don't know about you, but me seeing a Sam Young auto in a $250 box, that's not a good eye appeal.
I don't even know. Well, who's even Sam Young? Right. Yeah,
Greg
exactly.
Greg Stiesma, that's not a good eye appeal, bro.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think the next one I was just showing, we started buybacks in 2016, so nothing crazy there. But we started doing our buybacks. We had our best of the national was our first buyback, and then we move on to honors, which I think is one of the greatest products of all time. Even though that's a 2018 honors, but 2016 honors is really where we kind of hit our stride with football. And unbelievably, everybody thought it was going to be replaying, and Panini over-delivered on honors and made it. Good hits. There wasn't really crappy names in honors. Amazing stuff in honors.
We did like literally the most honors out of anybody in the industry.
Yeah.
Easy.
We did. And this was the birth of the Brandon Cooks to 99, which took the industry by storm as well.
This right here must have came out right before we moved into our current location because we were breaking this here.
Yes. It did. I think C-Rad broke it at the old location too.
I was breaking it at my previous office still as well when we were doing the eBay player breaks.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, we went through.
Yeah, this actually came out around the transition of moving from Walsh to
here,
Zanker.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the Mint.
Oh, man.
2016 Topps Mint. So in order to get Topps Mint from Topps, you had to order 4 master cases of triple threads. So you had to spend $12,000 to be able to purchase 1 case of Topps Mint. And looking back on it now, Topps Mint's a decent product, but it went from $900 retail, which what we paid, to $500 really fast.
I would love to be able to get that much triple threads again.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So it was the first cards that had a glove card booklets and stuff like that. We'll kind of start blowing through these next topics because we got Revolution coming up. We got probably one of the most pivotal years of this hobby for football, 2017 contenders. We did a lot of wish we still had it. Actually, wish we didn't even break it in 2017, to be honest with you guys.
2017, actually, the funniest part about 2017 was that during the actual football season and football year and football products, we actually were kind of struggling.
We were losing money.
We were losing money on contenders boxes.
We were struggling to sell some 2017 football.
Yeah, it was a struggle because you had Watson, who was the front runner coming into the year. You had Watson that got hurt. So he got hurt game 5, so nobody cared. You had Kareem Hunt was like the star throughout the year, Kareem Hunt for the Chiefs. And then he started fizzling out. This was before the domestic violence. Nobody gave a crap about Pat Mahomes. Mitch Trubisky, people didn't really care about him. And so the boxes were cheap, and nobody wanted to buy into breaks.
That was the year they had. That was the first year of First Off the Line, right?
Yes.
And it sat on Panini's site.
Like a month.
Look at Mostert.
For months. It was like 3 to 4 months. Like, we were actually told, like, hey, there's only like 10 cases left if you guys want to go ahead and buy it. And
we didn't. You know how much First Off the Line sells for now?
$4,000.
No, $2,500.
It doesn't
for
matter.
One box. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. That's too. Oh man, that was like free money.
Could have been a millionaire.
What's crazy about a lot of this, guys, and obviously if we didn't break it, we wouldn't be here. But we could have taken years off. We could have taken our allocation and sold it for more money than we made for breaks because that's what this stuff's going for. I mean, you got to have a crystal ball for this stuff, but the amount of money that contenders is going for, and we probably had like 80 cases of this stuff. Cases are going for like $15,000 now. So you can do the math. If we had 80 cases and we didn't even open a box.
Yeah, we were doing what? Five case breaks.
Just struggling. Like, we were struggling.
Yeah.
And 2017 class is like, you look at it and it's insane. You got, besides Mahomes, you have Watson, you have Trubisky, you have Fournette, you have Kamara. You've got George Kittle. You've got Mostert now. Cards are selling. It's phenomenal rookie class, even with Pat Mahomes.
McCaffrey?
McCaffrey. Yeah. I mean, it is, you know, I used to love 2011.
Make an argument the best offensive player in the league right now.
Part of it was also that we were coming off 16, which was a pretty hot football season.
Oh, yes. 16 with Dak and
Elliott, Wentz, and Goff.
So, like, I think people were kind of like, well, this isn't like 16, you know, with Watson injured and Mahomes not blown up yet. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. Dude, remember randoms with, like, the Cowboys?
Yep.
There was three different spots for the Cowboys.
Well, at the end of the year, there was three different spots. You had the Cowboys, you had Elliott, and then you had Dak.
Yeah.
For NT, yeah.
For NT.
Yeah. Yep. Crazy. Crazy reminiscence. So we're almost through it. We got, 2017 Transcendent. It was our first year doing Transcendent. We sat on the sideline for the first year. Probably should have just sat out all of it, to be honest with you guys. But Aaron Judge's rookie card, Aaron Judge took baseball by storm in 2017. And you know, it was a good year for baseball with Aaron Judge hitting bombs and doing what he did. So Transcendent was birth, and the Aaron Judge rookie cards were in there in 2017. Actually, the first year was 2016, which has Barry Bonds in it, by the way. But 2017 was the first year we did it. We went to the party in 2016, but we didn't buy any cases of it. So
went to the club.
We got to the club, got right in. So that was cool. And then the next year, you had Ohtani. So baseball riding high, right? You know, this is almost where we're at now anyway. But Ohtani came out right after Judge. You know, Definitive came out in 2017. So as C-Rad mentioned, Definitive was, you know, birthed with football. But it came back out with baseball, and it was hot.
Now we're at Zanker. We got the blue bubble.
Yep. We got the blue bubble. A little bit more easy to see. And then after that, you know, basketball just went nuts. Even basketball. I mean, I skipped over the Lonzo Ball era and the Donovan Mitchell era and all that stuff. But Luka, I mean, that right there is on eBay. So it's a Luka Doncic RPA out of 1819 NT.
$10.99.
And it's currently, with a day and a half left, it's currently at $40,000. So,
Does that get paid?
I don't know.
Does that get paid? I don't know either.
Spot this RPA real quick.
Oh, yeah, because I put this.
I'm dancing.
Oh, you're dabbing it up, dude. You pull it. Yeah. Which one is this one?
It's the title says insane, so it must be a good one.
Is this a $50,000 bill?
3 out of 5.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's like $1 million.
I bought a new car.
It's $1 million. That's what $1 million looks like.
Oh, my God. That was the day.
You know what
after,
I'd do if I had $1 million?
He came out.
No, yeah, it was, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, because it came out Friday. You did it on Saturday.
$1 million.
Yeah.
Right there. And actually, what do you think? $100,000?
I don't know.
$150,000? $150,000?
$10.
$10?
$10 mil. I'm going to say $2 million.
$2 mil.
Yeah.
Not one, but two.
Oh, my God.
I'm going
to
say $2 million.
One to show, one to go.
I bring back the separate spot for Zion and the Pelicans. We thought about it. And then I think we've got a couple more. Yeah, I want to mention Wander Franco because we had our friend Joe Staley, who's going to the Super Bowl in a couple weeks, break a couple cases with us. That was awesome. Joe pulls a gold Wander Franco, like in one of the last cases. And then right before Joe leaves, C-Rad pulls a Vladimir Guerrero Super Fractor. And it was just an epic day, and really represents how big Bowman's become and kind of the epitome of Bowman for us. And
death
so
rage.
Let me see if I can see that, because it's gold right there.
Yeah,
got it, baby. Let's go, Joe Staley.
You can turn the volume up too. It might play. Oh, you can see me in the background. Go back a little bit. All
right, let me go. Back.
That's one of the classic.
Yeah, you see me in the background.
Dude, Doug, you got hops.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me see. Get the volume up here.
Congratulations to the.
Yeah. Yeah, go back a little bit more.
Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Rays. Gold, yellow. That's a good yellow. Wander Franco! We got it!
Oh, yeah, do that whole thing. Show that whole thing. This is what C-Rat, right? Joe's basically leaving. You know, he's got bigger, better things to do. And, you know, he pulls this super.
I know. Boom! I'm from
scraped that card on the table, bro.
It got close. And then you can see Staley come in. And he comes in at the end. I'm going to take a picture first. Because at this point, C-Rad's on the floor, like, writhing with, you know, in pain from his leg or whatever, because he had a seizure on camera there. You know, yeah, Joey Bart Orange. That was an epic break. It was crazy, so. Oh, man.
Orange.
Yeah, so that was fun times. Fun times.
Gold Super and an orange, huh?
Yeah, in three cases.
And that was it?
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't have had better cases that day. I mean, that was phenomenal.
Joe brought the mojo.
Yep, he did. He did. But is that it? Is that the last slide?
That's the last slide.
So we got Revolution breaking. We've got Hip Raiders back in stock, but it's sold out, so we'll get into that. But we got a lot of stuff on the site. Bowman's best today. Check out our Super Bowl mixer. And
got a First Off the Line breaking or coming out tomorrow.
Well, which one?
Yeah, we got a
Crown.
Crown Royale.
Ooh, okay.
It's a regular.
All right, get them bots loaded up.
Load them up on them bots.
Load up them bots.
Ron Bot, baby.
Make that money.
Make that money.
Make that money.
Whole lot of money, as AB says. All right, we don't have any more outros because I don't know what's wrong with the iPad. Dan broke it because he's an Android user. But we don't have an outro, so thanks for tuning in to the show. Make sure you guys follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And especially on Facebook, because we're going to be running a contest for the Million Card Rip Party. So make sure you like our Facebook page. And there'll be details on how you can score yourself some free stuff at the Topps Rip Party. That is February 4th. If not, tune in. It's going to be insane. Million Cards going to be ripped. We're going to be doing 18 cases of Series 1 2020 Jumbo. And yeah, so it's going to be an awesome event. So check us out, mojobreak.com, for your breaks. And we'll see you later on the hype.
Peace. Boom.